place of refuge, and I appreciate it. How long do you think that we'll still be having assembly meetings here in Guthrie? Kind of take it for granted, don't we? We feel like we'll be able to come whenever we want. But I believe that we're living in some times that things are changing. I believe we're in a time that people are sleepy spiritually. But I believe it's a time that you and I need to be awake. And we need to be aware of what is going on around us. There have been different times in the history of the world that a certain society has been in imminent danger. Think about the tsunami that hit Japan. Japan had been through plenty of earthquakes, but this one brought the big wave with it. Perhaps people were going about their normal activities of life and didn't think much, and the wave hit. I think about the volcano that sent molten lava through the streets of Pompeii so fast that people could not escape. Now that volcano mountain had been there for a long time, probably. They'd probably seen it smoking, but the people of Pompeii were living in a dangerous time. It's good for us to be aware of the time that we live in and to be prepared for the things that may come our way. There was a man that lived in dangerous times, and that was Noah in chapter 6 of Genesis. Genesis 6 and 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. Verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You notice the verse says, God saw. When men get wicked, God sees that. He's looking into everyone's heart today. And all the bad news we hear in the world, you know there's a God in heaven that's keeping track of all that. There is something about the increase of wickedness that makes times dangerous. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Does it sound familiar? Is this a sign of the time that we live in today? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beasts, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 11, and the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Noah, you are living in a dangerous time. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. What do you do in a time that is dangerous? There's something for us to be doing, isn't there? Verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Noah was living in a dangerous time, but God sent a warning. I believe he sends warnings to those that fear him and those that are willing to be aware. Noah, according to Peter, was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine Noah there in his society? I want to share something with you that my great-grandfather Enoch taught me. That man that walked with God, there is something about what you folks are doing is wrong. You shouldn't be killing your neighbor. You shouldn't be breaking into their house. This is causing the anger of God, and there's a great flood coming someday. But I'm building an ark, and you need to come get in the ark with me. He knew that he was living in a time. He saw some signs that things were dangerous, but God made a plan of escape. Peter said, God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. When the world gets ungodly, it will bring the wrath of God. Yeah. Lot was another man that lived in dangerous times. Fire and brimstone was coming. Peter said that the men of Sodom vexed Lot's righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Don't you think that should have been a sign to Lot? I see all this wickedness around me. I see these men that are such desperate perverts. I see all this violence. In fact, the whole city seems to be corrupt. Don't you think that should have alarmed Lot just a little bit? He was living in some dangerous times. Well, let me ask you, don't some of the things in society around you alarm you a little bit? I believe they ought to. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now. When the wickedness of the land gets great, it gets God's attention. And He pays attention to that, and He will check it out, and He will execute judgment. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. So the Lord sent the angels to Sodom. And in chapter 9, the last of verse 9, we read, and they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. These men were so desperate that even when the angel of the Lord smote them with blindness, they still wouldn't stop. That's a sign of something being very serious. An aggressive nature to evil, that ought to alarm us. When people are getting bold about their corruption, when there is no longer shame for sin, we ought to recognize that's a sign that perhaps God's judgment is imminent. What does 2012 hold? Can anybody here tell me what all we're going to see this year? I don't know. Maybe our country is going to return to prosperity. Maybe the recession will be over. Maybe things are going to go great. Maybe some of the wars are going to end. Maybe they'll start getting a handle on the drug war. Could it be the year the Lord comes? I don't know. None of us know. But I do know one thing. We better be paying attention to the signs of the time and know the kind of time that we're living in. Jesus gave warning of the destruction of Jerusalem. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Jesus gave this warning, and those who believed in Christ took heed to his warning. The Roman army had come to Jerusalem and had started to desecrate the city. And then they got distracted, is my understanding, by another army. And so they withdrew. And during the time of withdrawal, the Christians took those signs and Jesus' prophecy, and every one of them escaped the city. According to history, not a single Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. But there were signs, there were warnings to those who were aware. Prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, signs and wonders appeared, foreboding disaster and doom. In the midst of the night, an unnatural light shone over the temple and the altar. Upon the clouds at sunset were pictured chariots and men of war gathering for battle. The priests ministering by night in the sanctuary were terrified by mysterious sounds. The earth trembled, and a multitude of voices were heard crying, "Let us depart hence." The great eastern gate, which was so heavy that it could hardly be shut by a score of men, and which was secured by immense bars of iron fastened deep into the pavement of solid stone, opened at midnight without visible agency. For 7 years, a man named Jesus, the son of Annas, continued to go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, declaring the woes that were to come upon the city. By day and by night, he chanted a voice from the east, a voice from the west, a voice from the four winds, a voice against Jerusalem and against the temple, a voice against the bridegrooms and the brides, a voice against the whole people. This strange man was imprisoned and scourged, but no complaint escaped his lips. To insult and abuse, he answered only, "Woe, woe to Jerusalem. Woe, woe to the inhabitants thereof." His warning cry ceased not until he was slain by a stone from a catapult, crying, "Woe to myself also," as he gave up the ghost. Now, Titus' siege of Jerusalem occurred at an especially bad time. It happened during the Passover. During the Passover was a time that Jews from all over the country would come and enter into the walls of Jerusalem. So they had in Jerusalem perhaps 1 million extra residents. What happens when you surround, besiege a city, and you have way more people than you normally have? You have real demand on the food supply and water supply, and starvation began to set in. Great numbers of people would steal out at night to gather wild plants growing outside of the city walls. Though many were seized and crucified, and often those who returned in safety were robbed of what they had gleaned at such a great peril. They were tortured once they came back, some of them, for the food. Turn the food over. Where's the food hiding? And they would torture folks for food. I found it ironic that these Jews, perhaps some of the same ones that cried, crucified him, themselves, trying to find food, foraging outside at night, were captured and crucified. They were living in dangerous times. Jesus warned them, "Dear ones, we need to have our eyes open to what's going on in our society and what's going on into our world, in our world. What is going on in the religious world, we need to have our eyes open and be careful in our lives." I want to ask you, have you noticed any changes in our society in the past 20 to 30 years? I'm alarmed. Now, Young people, you don't have the benefit of having been around some of those years. But let me tell you, I'm alarmed not only at some of the changes, but at the speed of change. This country is descending very quickly into moral bankruptcy. It's actually becoming uncivilized. Have you noticed the growth of paganism? The growth of Islam? The building of mosques in city after city? Great Buddhist temples, one out there near Pam's house in California, a great Buddhist temple. And who knows how many others, other places throughout the United States. This ought to tell us something about the kind of times we're living in. Chaplain Don Larson was part of 16 witches who gathered on a Texas plain to celebrate a late winter pagan festival with dancing, chanting, chili, and beer. All but two were current or former military personnel. Once a Pentecostal minister at Camp Anaconda, the largest U.S. support base in Iraq, he would send home reports on the number of soldiers committing their lives to Christ and that he inspired in the base's Freedom Chapel. But inwardly, this Pentecostal chaplain was torn. In church, he spoke in tongues. In private, he read heavily in Buddhism. He learned about Wicca, ironically, from the army. In an overview of various faiths at the chaplain's basic training course at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in 2005. I realized so many innocent people are dying again in the name of God, Larson says. When you think back over the Catholic-Protestant conflict, how the Jews have suffered, how some Christians justified slavery, the Crusades, and now the fighting between the Shiite and Sunni Muslims, I just decided I'm done. I will not be a part of any church that unleashes its clergy to preach that a particular individual or faith groups are damned. So he became a witch. Signs of the time. It ought to make us sit up and take notice when these kinds of things are taking place. What does 2012 hold? I don't know, but I know God is there and He has grace for every one of us. But I don't believe that it is good for it to be a sleepy time spiritually for any of us. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. That old spirit of paganism, Satan, it says, will be loosed for a little season. Does it seem like to you that the very powers of hell have been unleashed in this world? It's a serious time, isn't it? Revelation 12 and 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. We sang this song during this meeting. The Lord is coming shortly, according to his word, taking vengeance on the wicked and them that know not God. Oh, who shall then be able in that awful day to stand? And that song kind of bothered me because it says the Lord is coming shortly. Well, the Scripture tells us that no man knows the day and the hour that the Lord will come. So when the song says the Lord is coming shortly, isn't that unscriptural? Well, the Scripture said, He knoweth, He hath but a short time. Once He is unleashed, it appears, according to Scripture, the time is short. Is this a time for you and for me to be asleep spiritually? Or is it a time to be on our guard against the evil of this world? Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Oh, the eating, the drinking, the revelry that this world indulges in. I believe this is one of the signs of the time. I want to share with you some news pieces. I like to read a lot of headlines. I care about what's going on in this world. And I notice headlines that alarm me. In Philadelphia, here are some things from last year. Philadelphia, on June 27th. Police in Pennsylvania say dozens of teenagers invaded a Sears store with the flash mob making off with thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. Police said they believe the raid on the store in Philadelphia, a suburb of Upper Darby, Thursday, was organized through social networking. The Philadelphia Daily News reported Monday. The youths ranging in age from 11 to 19 traveled together on public transportation and arrived at the store at about 7 p.m., police said. I don't remember ever hearing of a crime like this when I was young. A flash mob of young people just barging in the store and grabbing merchandise and running out. That's alarming to me. Chicago, June 21st, about 50 teenagers stormed a Walgreens store taking bottled drinks and sandwiches without paying, police said. Lake Tahoe, California, June 28th, a 22-year-old Reno man's jaw was reportedly broken in three places last week following a fight at Zephyr Cove Resort involving up to 30 people, according to the sheriff deputy's report. St. Paul, Minnesota, February 19th. 50 teenagers swarmed a busy convenience store, causing confusion and panic among the store's employees. They stole anything they could get their hands on, food, candy, soda, juice. This was not the first time this has happened in St. Paul. A BP station was robbed by 20 teenagers 4 months prior. The clerk was assaulted and the assailants fled the building in different directions. Signs of dangerous times. Douglasville, Georgia, August 16th. A sword-wielding teenager stabs to death his great-grandmother after being told to turn off a video game. Great-grandma, somebody you ought to love. It's sad. How could you do it in such a violent way? It ought to alarm us, folks. This is the kind of country that we are becoming. It ought to wake us up if we're asleep. Is this a time to be dabbling around in sin? Is this a time to be spiritually asleep? This nation is headed for trouble. You cannot do these kinds of things indefinitely and get away with it. And one from during this meeting. Bloomington, Minnesota, December 26th. A brawling crowd of more than 200 teenagers caused chaos at Minnesota's Mall of America Monday evening as a food court fight turned into a rampage that took police more than an hour to bring under control. 200 teenagers. I never heard of these kind of crimes when I was young. Have you heard about the Arab Spring? The Arab Spring is a term used to talk about a wave of revolutions and unrest throughout the Arab world, through a lot of the nations of the Arab world. The overthrow of government leaders, changing of governments, violent mobs in the streets, unrest, demonstrations. It has become something that is quite commonplace in our world today. Anarchy in the world seems to be on the rise. In Mexico in 2010, due to the drug war, there were something like 15,000 killed. That would wipe out the entire population of Guthrie and then some. It ought to make us stop and think, where are we in history? What is going on with society? Is there something that I need to be paying attention to? Lord, have mercy on us as a people. Doesn't the Scripture tell us to pray that we'll be able to live peaceable lives? If nothing else, we can pray for that. We can pray for our leaders. But I believe we need to be watching for our own souls. And we need to be careful if we're slipping around and playing the life of a hypocrite, dabbling around in sin. Let me tell you, you're in real danger today. This isn't any time to be doing those kinds of things. This is a time to be getting established in the Lord, to be getting filled with the Holy Ghost so that you have power in your life. This is the time. Have you been putting it off? Have you been thinking someday I'm going to get established? Let me tell you, this is the time. You're going to need it. The undercurrent of the world is so strong this day. Let me tell you a little bit about the sea. I love the sea, but I'm afraid of it. There are certain places where there are reefs, and the waves break over that, and so you have a volume of water coming over the top, and that water has to get back out somehow. So underneath these waves that are breaking and coming in, there is a strong pull back out to sea. And it takes people out, some to never return. What I want to say is today, young people, the undertow of the world is very, very powerful. Even stronger than when I was young. The things that are available to you, so readily available, oh, the undertow that they have. And oh, what a dangerous time to be dabbling in those types of things. Well, Lot lived in a dangerous time. Noah lived in a dangerous time. But I believe we do today too. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Today it seems like evil spirits have been unleashed. The things that are available on the internet, the things that are shown on television, the things that are printed in books and magazines, it's like the boundaries have just, the floodgates have been opened. Shouldn't that alarm us some? Shouldn't it concern us, or are we secretly enjoying it? Are we secretly enjoying the fact that people are getting more and more immodest? That those things are more available to us? Or does it alarm us and does it vex our righteous soul like it did Lot's? I would hope it stirs us. And it causes us to want to be careful and to realize I need to be serious about my soul. This world is bringing its own doom on. I was deeply troubled by the recent action of the Oklahoma City Council when they decided to make homosexuals a special protected class in terms of employment. It seemed to me that those men that made that vote, and woman, that day, they didn't even know what they were doing. They did not grasp the seriousness of it. We as a nation are ensuring our own destruction. Our forefathers worried about communism. It wasn't the communists that got us. We're destroying ourselves. I want you to be aware of the times. I'm not trying to be too negative. I want to give you courage and hope. There is victory in the Lord. I strongly believe in a victorious life. There is power in the Holy Ghost. But I think we need to be aware of what is around us and what is coming. It says in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Do you remember what Jesus said the greatest commandment was? Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." You want to know what's most important? That's it. A wholehearted love for God. But one of the dangers of the society that we live in is people are consumed with themselves. Father, how can you walk away from those young children because you found another woman? How can you do it? It's because you love your own self. How can you not love your family, your wife, your children? Do you see any of that in the world today? It ought to tell us that we are living in dangerous times. One of the signs of dangers of the last time is that people would be covetous. Do you see any of that around us? What about the gambling casinos? What is the danger of being covetous? If I want what you have, how many crimes have arisen from that? Some of the startling headlines include somebody was killed for their expensive pair of tennis shoes. Covetousness is a serious detriment to society. It's one of the seed sins that generates a lot of other sins. Boasters. Why is it that boasting is dangerous? That one sounds fairly innocent, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Those things which exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, that boasting, that arrogance, is one of the signs of a dangerous society. Back to 2 Timothy 3. Blasphemers. To blaspheme is to speak irreverently about God or holy things. Do you see any unholiness in the society that we live in today? Has it changed in 40 years? How unholy our society is. I want to give you a few numbers. In 2009, 41% of all U.S. births were to unmarried women. Unholy, unclean, shameful. Is it still shameful or not? Or is it entertaining? Is it acceptable? Have we been desensitized? The world entertains themselves with these types of things. From 1940 to 2007, this represents a 19 times increase in percentage. You know what that means? That means there's an explosion of illegitimate births. That ought to alarm us. We ought to pay attention to that. Lord, what does this mean? When our society is spiraling down that fast, could it be that there is coming a day we won't be able to meet in camp meeting anymore? That the persecutions will be unleashed? What is coming, Lord? I don't know. Maybe we have years of prosperity and peace ahead of us. But oh, the spiritual dangers that lurk. This is no time to be asleep spiritually. Now, 41% of the births are illegitimate children. What about all the children that never made it to be born? 53 million abortions from 1973 to 2008. 53 million. I believe that's larger than the population of Guthrie and Oklahoma City, and probably Oklahoma. What a large city of people. This is serious. You remember in Noah's day, God looked down and he saw that violence filled the earth. And it got his attention. I was in Miami not long ago. And we were going down the highway to church service. And there was a billboard. This billboard to me was one of the signs of the time. There were two men on the billboard depicted, about shoulder to shoulder. And one was looking at the other and big grin on his face. The sign asked, "Found a new love?" And it was advertising a website for free HIV testing. I was appalled. I imagine most of the hundreds of thousands of cars that pass by that billboard every day, the drivers are totally apathetic. They either approve or don't care. Where is the outrage, people calling the billboard company and saying, why are you promoting this kind of thing? Why is it allowed in our society when it is like one of the deep abominations that help bring the destruction of Sodom? It is serious. It gets God's attention. And what people are doing unwittingly is speeding the destruction of this country. Without natural affection, babies going into dumpsters. I know these aren't pleasant things to think about, but it is reality. And I believe there are times that we need to waken ourselves a little and consider the seriousness of the society that we're in. The song says, "Do you know, O ransomed brother, that we stand upon the verge, where old time fills up his ages, and the lost will mourn his dirge." Do you believe it? Do you believe that we're on the edge of that time of the destruction of the world? It's very possible. And it goes on to say, "Oh, what myriad souls are sleeping, soon to wake in judgment fires. Help, O God, thy remnant gleaning, until time indeed expires." What do we do when we live in such dangerous times? Do we do like Jim Jones and his followers and go create a religious commune in Guyana? Do we go off somewhere and try to isolate ourselves from this spiritually dangerous world? Jim Jones convinced his followers to follow him in suicide. And it was a disaster. I don't believe the Lord is looking for us to go off into some commune somewhere to try to separate ourselves from the world. But I believe that He also doesn't want us to try little flings into sin here and there. This is no time to be doing that kind of thing. Consider firemen. What do they do when there is great danger? Do they run from the fire? They get in there and try to rescue people. And I believe that is one of the missions of the church in dangerous times, to try to rescue perishing souls. It has become more urgent their destruction is imminent. Think of lifeguards when people are drowning. That's the time they get in there and they try to save. The more dangerous that times are, the more people need a message of salvation. The more people need a message of hope. As marriages are breaking up, as people are contemplating suicide, as our society gets itself deeper and deeper into trouble, oh, how they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where are the workers? Where are the people that are willing to consecrate their lives, to spend their time in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's needed. The people out there need it so badly. That's what we do in dangerous times. Well, there is good news. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Is safe in the most dangerous of times. There is not a storm that can take the righteous man down. I'm thankful for that. Are you in that storm? Are you in that tower of safety today? There is an ark of safety. Are you outside today? Or are you in a safe place? If you've been on the edge, contemplating, which way am I going to go? I urge you, look around at the signs of the time and make your run for the ark of safety. In Romans 5 and 20, it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm thankful for that. I believe there is power and victory over this world. No matter how evil our society becomes, we can live a clean and pure life. We can be an example to our neighbors and co-workers, no matter what happens around us. In Jude, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's what you do in dangerous times. You reach out to try to pull people out of the fire. And notice verse 24. Now unto him that is able. He is able. Do you believe it? There are too many people out there teaching today that you cannot live free from sin. But the Word of God tells us he is able. It's not my strength. It's His strength. He is able to keep you. That's me. That's you. Every one of us. He is able to keep us no matter how strong the undercurrent is. No matter what laws are passed. No matter how much peer pressure. He is able. Isn't that a blessing? Thank the Lord. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Can we be faultless in such a society as this? I believe we can. I appreciated the description of the church this morning. I see the church as so beautiful. I believe we can be faultless on that last great day. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, the joy when that day comes. And we have been in the ark. We've been in that tower of safety. We were wise enough to listen to the warnings and to take heed and to be secure. I'm thankful for that. I want to be faithful. You pray for me.